Amherst wants ranked choice voting approved in time for the November town elections. For that to happen, they need the state legislature to pass House Bill H-777 within the next 24 hours. Welcome back in with Maya Schwader. I'm Dara Kennedy. According to the Pew Research Center, at least 50 cities have adopted RCV, wherein voters are able to choose their first candidate, second, third, and so on. So if it's just that process, why hasn't the state approved the home rule petition for Amherst, and why does this alternative voting system continue to receive pushback?
The ranked choice voting question has come before voters before. Those who went to the polls in Massachusetts in November 2020 might remember ballot question 2, which is about adopting ranked choice voting for the whole state. It failed, but in Amherst specifically, 76.5% of residents voted in favor. We spoke to Tanya Lisey. She's a professor of mathematics and statistics at Amherst College. Last year, she chaired the Ranked Choice Voting Commission, which produced a report looking into how Amherst could implement it. We started by asking her to just break down, how does ranked choice voting work?
Ranked choice voting gives people the option to essentially indicate their preference for more than one candidate. So you might have your favorite candidate that you can put in first place, but maybe you have somebody that you like almost as well, and you want to give them a shot that if your first choice candidate can't win, you want to rank somebody else second choice, then your vote for that second choice candidate could eventually pertain to the outcome of the election if your favorite is unable to win. So the idea is that you can indicate multiple preferences in order to increase your chance of being represented by the winner. And really, I think the goal in all of this is to improve the representation, that plurality has issues with vote splitting. You only get to choose one candidate. And if the vote is split among too many people, the winner may not be the most representative of the voters. Ranked choice voting improves the chance of a good representative outcome by allowing people to rank multiple candidates.
Is there still an option in ranked choice voting if you have, for example, one candidate you like and one candidate you don't like to not rank or not vote for a person?
Absolutely. You only have to rank those you actually want to give a chance to win. So if you only have one favorite, you can do just like plurality, bubble in first place and stop. If you have three candidates you like and you're like, I'd be happy with any of these three candidates winning, then rank those three candidates. But you don't have to rank, you don't have to give a chance to anyone you don't want to win. You just don't rank them. I think one of the key things is that ranked choice voting is something that's really a town's decision, that if the voters really want it, then it's appropriate. And we saw in the ballot measure two that failed statewide in Massachusetts, but it was overwhelmingly popular in Amherst. And so we're a place that really wants it. And I think that's the key, is that it needs to be in a place that is ready for it and is really interested in it.
This requires new, different voting machines because the ballots are tabulated differently. What is the cost of this to the town or to the taxpayers?
The town of Amherst needed to purchase new voting machines anyway this year. But if a town were not in that position, then you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars in purchasing new scanning equipment, tabulators, the software, the whole service agreement. So it can be quite expensive unless you were planning to do that anyway.
Another objection to ranked choice voting is that it makes the process more difficult. Instead of just having a binary choice, you now have to research and get to know multiple candidates, decide if you like them, and do this for multiple sections of the ballot, not just for mayor or governor. Is this something that was of concern to the commission?
No, I think our new town charter really set up our new voting districts deliberately to work well with ranked choice voting, that they're multi-member districts in order to, again, optimize representation of the voters. And when you have two or three winners per district, you want a system that's not plurality, that's not just vote splitting. You want something where the people are looking into the candidates and ranking them, and that will help provide the most representative outcome.
Ranked choice voting, as we've seen, as is happening right now in New York City, it takes longer to tabulate the votes once Election Day is over. This is something that people aren't used to. They're used to knowing the result of an election the same night. Do you think that this would take a change in culture for the way that we do our elections? Do you think that this is something people would be willing to adjust to?
I think it's a little bit of a myth that's been bandied about that it's the ranked choice voting slowing things down. In New York City, it's the absentee ballots that are slowing things down. With modern computational power, once you have all the votes, things run very quickly. So it really doesn't delay things, except in the sense that you have to wait till you get all the votes in, which I think is more representative. You should wait till everybody's had a chance to get their vote in and then run the results.
There's a crisis of confidence in the American electoral system as it stands right now. Do you think that implementing something like ranked choice voting might help or hurt?
We first of all need to make sure that our election systems are very robust and secure. I think ranked choice voting definitely adds an extra layer of complication, that if you have a voting population that's feeling uncertain, it may be best to stick with something tried and true like plurality they're used to, instead of adding further complications. So that's certainly a drawback. It definitely adds a lot of extra complication to explain who won.
In general, do you recommend ranked choice voting?
I have mixed feelings, honestly. It is a more complicated ballot to fill out. It is more complicated to explain to the electorate how the winner was selected. It has huge advantages in avoiding spoilers and vote splitting. I think the main thing is it needs to be in a population that's ready for it, that they really want it and feel that they're dissatisfied with the results of plurality and they want to try something different, but they need to really want it. So I think it's important that it be voted in rather than imposed on an electorate. We forget how often in plurality there's bad outcomes and focus on occasional bad things happening with ranked choice when it happens all the time in plurality.
Tanya Lisey is a professor of mathematics and statistics at Amherst College, and she was also the chair of the Ranked Choice Voting Commission for the town of Amherst. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Maine was the first state to use ranked choice voting in the 2018 federal elections and remains the only state that uses RCV extensively. New York City implemented the process this year for in-primary and special elections, and as they decipher real ballots from test ballots, their case study for RCV points to more pitfalls than positives. A recent MIT Election Lab study found that allowing voters to rank their preferences as they see fit took on average 12 seconds longer per candidate than the single choice system. Anthony Amore, who has led the efforts against ranked choice voting in Massachusetts, tells us that in addition to discriminating against its residents, the list of why Amherst is making a mistake is long.
You know, it's a difficult thing to explain because there are so many things wrong with ranked choice voting. And frankly, ranking them is difficult, ironically. But I would say that the first and foremost has been proven time and again to suppress voter turnout, especially amongst communities of color, amongst older voters, and against seniors. And I think Governor Baker said it well in 2020 when he said, you know, we should be working towards getting more people enfranchised and more people voting, not making the process much more difficult. And that's what ranked choice voting does.
When you were running for Secretary of State in 2018, you disagreed with advocates that said ranked choice voting would be better, but ranked choice voting would actually ensure that voters ideally receive their choice of lawmaker because they get to vote in order of their preference. So why do you dispute that?
Because it's been proven that that doesn't work. I mean, first, the Maine Policy Institute studied over 100 elections in which ranked choice voting was used. And what it shows is that in more than 61% of these elections, the final winner after things are ranked is not chosen by more than 50% of the voters. They're chosen by more than 50% of the remaining voters, of the people whose ballots are not exhausted, which means their ballot was done incorrectly, which is a large percentage, in some elections up to 10%. So that's one of the reasons Worcester, Massachusetts, which had ranked choice voting from 1949 until 1960, got rid of it. In one election, there were over 100 people. Ranking these people and knowing who they all are adds to guesswork, and it's really detrimental to the process.
So what I'm hearing is that the hesitancy really is about the math, right? The numbers of how the result is tabulated in the majority versus the popular vote process?
Essentially, yes. It doesn't accomplish what it says on the tin. It doesn't ensure that the winning person, the person who is elected, has got more than 50% of the vote. In most cases, it does not. On top of that, it disenfranchises the very communities that we're hoping to ensure have a safe vote. If Amherst adopted it, what you would see, and I know that I think it's Becca Rausch is introducing legislation again to have it statewide. It's just such a bad idea. Look at New York. They used ranked choice voting in New York City for an election last Tuesday. They still don't have results. Whenever you have a process like that, then you're really introducing the ideas of conspiracies and fraud, valid or otherwise. Either way, it's detrimental to our system.
When you mention percentages, do you point to races that were had in Maine, some of those primaries, and look at ranked choice voting as a failure?
Well, I would point to the one in 2018, the first year they had it in Maine, in which the sitting Congressman Bruce Poliquin won on election night, but wound up losing because of ranked choice voting. More people than not had chosen him to win. And because once the system kicked in, and again, it took forever to tabulate the votes, he wound up losing his seat.
Even though the measure was defeated statewide in Massachusetts, and more than 3/4 of Amherst residents actually supported ranked choice voting. So what do you say to those people in Amherst that say that this is what they want to do? This is how they want to choose their lawmakers?
Well, I would say everything about Amherst really does point towards this disparities I just mentioned. In Amherst, you have a higher level of education than in many other cities and towns. I understand that this is up to them, and you know, I respect what at a referendum. I think it's a really bad thing for Amherst. It's a very bad thing for the state, and this is why the ACLU of Kansas wouldn't come out in favor, because they did a study that showed it's discriminatory.
How do elections evolve? Ranked choice voting seems to be on the path to looking forward in the future as how politics are determined.
I don't know if that's true, because this fancy newer system that you're behind the times if you don't get it. No, you're doing a disservice to your fellow voter and saying to them, tough luck, catch up with the times, because we don't like the way the votes go now. We don't like the outcome. And that's just a bad way to go about things. We've been going at elections the same way forever because it works, not because it's old.
With your security background on the federal government level, can people feel confident voting in that system?
I would say it's less safe than the traditional system, and here's why. In Massachusetts, when we have a traditional election, the votes are tabulated at the local level. If you vote in Amherst, they're tabulated in Amherst and sent to the Secretary of State's office, the final tallies. And that's true of all 351 cities and towns, right? If you have ranked choice voting, all of those votes are collected in these different cities and towns and then brought to Boston at a central tabulating station, a very expensive central tabulating station. That's why there's only one. When you introduce that sort of additional step into voting, you're increasing risk. I mean, that's just simple logic. And there have been places where these after elections, votes are found undelivered because they had to be brought from one city to another, not in Massachusetts, in other states, because we don't have it statewide. Adding a confusing system that has been demonstrated to disenfranchise certain groups is really a bad idea, especially at this time in our history.
From an economic standpoint, the town council in Amherst is hesitant on machines and the process to educate poll workers and everything that comes with elections. If the July 1st deadline is not met, when you look at the cost of what ranked choice voting would be to a town?
So glad you asked that question. Everywhere ranked choice voting has been introduced, millions of dollars have been spent on voter education. In Maine, when it was introduced, voters were provided with a 19-page document to explain ranked choice voting. Think about that. So you're spending loads of money to give people reading assignments that we know they're not going to complete, and just exemplifies how confusing this system is. It's just a bad investment. We have a working system now that does not need to be repaired, least of all in Amherst. We're not talking about a great metropolis here. The way the vote goes now is more than adequate. And stepping towards ranked choice voting is more of an exercise in look how progressive we are than it is making sure the most people are enfranchised in the voting system. And in 2021, in the political climate we're in, for people to be pushing a system that is so rife with inequity, it's shocking to me that a place like Amherst, which is so progressive, I mean, if you go to a voting booth in Boston, there are people who help the Asian community understand the ballot the way it is now. Imagine what it would take to go in and translate this stuff when it's ranked choice voting.
Anthony Amore ran for Secretary of State in 2018. Stay with us. An Amherst City Council member tells us why they won't stop pushing for this voting alternative after the break.
This pandemic, as we have been telling you, has meant workers are able to reevaluate some things.
You know, it's one of those things where you kind of go, well, wait, I worked 60 hours a week so that I could make what I thought was a sufficient income.
I'm Kai Rizdal. We will do a worker roundtable next time on Marketplace.
Stay tuned for Marketplace, which is ahead at 6:30, followed by Fresh Air at 7 and Jazz a la Mode at 8 on New England Public Media. Mostly cloudy and continued humid tonight with showers and thunderstorms likely. Some of the storms could be severe with damaging winds and heavy rain, lows 65 to 70. Cloudy and continued humid tomorrow with showers and thunderstorms likely, highs in the lower 80s. You're listening to New England Public Media.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Maya Schwader. Today, we're looking at ranked choice voting. Amherst is waiting to see whether the state legislature will approve their home rule petition to adopt this form of election. Amherst first adopted the charter to implement ranked choice voting back in 2018, and in anticipation of being able to use it by now, they removed the town's preliminary elections for this fall from their town charter. But they cannot actually run a ranked choice voting election until Beacon Hill says so, and that deadline is tomorrow. We spoke with Amherst City Councilor-at-Large Mandy Johannicke, who has been supportive of switching to ranked choice voting. We asked her how things were shaping up for the fall and whether the town could put those preliminary elections back in place.
I was vice chair of the Charter Commission, and we actually had that in at one point, and then we decided ranked choice voting was so important and we were going to mandate its adoption that we didn't want it in the charter. And so without preliminary elections in the charter, we can't go back to it without an amendment to the charter. And so, you know, without ranked choice voting this fall, we will not have preliminary elections. It will be a free-for-all in November, no matter how many candidates there are, which could be very interesting, I would say, depending on the number of candidates. And unfortunate too, right? Because the whole goal of both preliminary in some sense, but also ranked choice voting is to ensure that the elected representatives received a majority of support.
If this were up to Amherst, if Beacon Hill weren't involved at all and the people of Amherst could choose whether or not they want a ranked choice voting, do you think that they would choose this?
Oh, they would choose it in a heartbeat. When question two was put to the voters in the entire state, I think that was 2019, maybe 2018. I think it was 2019, last year, or 2 years ago now. Amherst was the third highest city and town, municipality in the state to vote yes to institute ranked choice voting across the Commonwealth for statewide elections. We had 78% support, I believe, in Amherst, or 76. We were behind Cambridge and one other town. So just given those results, not even knowing that our charter passed and one of the big things about the charter was ranked choice voting, but just seeing the question two results does affirm that Amherst's residents and voters in particular really do support being able to elect their candidates and their elected representatives through ranked choice voting.
So are you optimistic that this will resolve by July 1st?
No, that's tomorrow. Unfortunately, it hasn't even been reported out of the joint committee, and that is in some sense very disappointing that we haven't been able to get that done. We might have been able to move quicker if COVID hadn't happened, but you know, you can't expect things like a global pandemic. But I'm confident we will, that the legislature will pass this and the governor will sign that, so that at a minimum, by 2023, we'll be electing our municipal representatives.
Assuming that by 2023, this is in place, what kind of precedent do you think that this would set for the rest of the Commonwealth?
I think it would be a very positive precedent. You know, we in the Charter Commission looked to Cambridge, which is now it's not now only, but was at the time the only municipality in Massachusetts electing by ranked choice voting. And they had a very positive, you know, influence on us saying, look at what they can do with that and what their voters do and who they can get representative, you know, electing and who runs. And that had a huge influence on us. And now with East Hampton also having received their special act to be able to do it for portions of their elections, I think all of them building together, the more municipalities can see that it works in multiple locations with multiple size towns. You know, Cambridge is a lot bigger, right? Has a lot higher budget. But as East Hampton and Amherst will be able to adopt it with much smaller budgets, it can just be shown that it can work in any size and can work positively in any size.
Is there any concern that people won't get it?
No. You know, the ballot can look complicated, but in all of the mock elections that our ranked choice voting commission did, you know, when we had block parties and stuff, they would run a mock election. They never reported anyone not understanding, pick your, you know, rank them in the order you like them. You know, you have to have a clear ballot, and it is vitally important to set your ballot up properly, but there was never, you know, they reported that every resident that walked up, once you explained to them, here's your ballot, you're going to pick your first, second, and third choice, they went, oh, I get it, and filled out a ballot. So there's no concern at all, really, that it's not understandable. There will need to be education on the entirely new look of the ballot, because it will look dramatically different. But just understanding of what the ballot is accomplishing is not a concern.
Mandy Johanicki is a counselor at large for the town of Amherst. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's our show for today. Don't forget, we welcome your comments. You can follow us on social media. We are at Hello and Another, or email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org. I'm Maya Schwader.
Feel free to join our conversations. Call us, 800-639-9120. I'm Dara Kennedy. Thanks for listening.